So let me give you the quick digest, a quick breakdown of a few things in the news. Madison Park High School was in the news. Unfortunately, it wasn't good news. Unfortunately, it's the same old story. And I'm going to give it to you real quick in my perspective. It's sad for me because I grew up in a community where most of the kids from this community actually went to Madison Park. If you didn't get to go to an exam school or you didn't get a choice, your kind of default was Madison Park. And I'm not trying to knock Madison Park, but when something's a default, you know, I have a lot of memories about Madison Park. A lot of friends told me stories about Madison Park. And it wasn't always, I mean, I'm sure people had good times, but they weren't always good stories. You know what I mean? The school was not renowned for its education. And I say that from a position of privilege because I was privileged enough to go to Latin Academy. And while I don't think going to one school or another makes you a better person, I do think it impacts, it had the potential to impact your level of education, the quality of your education. And so seeing that growing up with friends and how that impacted us in terms of being able to earn different jobs or having access to different levels of jobs was something that became apparent the older I got. And once I became an activist and a politician, I actually represented at the state level the 5th Suffolk District neighborhoods of Roxbury and Dorchester, which is, you know, between like Grove Hall to Dudley Street to St. Patrick's Church, and then up to Fields Corner and back down Geneva up to Grove Hall again. So a lot of my friends were from that neighborhood and went to Madison Park. So I heard the potential about auto body and woodworking and things like that. But when I became a politician, at some point the mayoral seat opened up in 2013, and I ended up talking to then candidate Marty Walsh after the primary about his plans for Madison Park. And he was the first candidate that I had talked to that really had a specific plan for Madison Park, and that was to use his deep union ties as the former head of the building trades to make an investment into Madison Park to make it a state-of-the-art facility, vocational trade school that could rival Worcester's, you know, polytechnical school. So you should check out, you should Google that, Worcester Polytechnical School. There's a lot of ill stories about the investment and how it's changed the students, how it's changed the area, technology, and the whole nine. But the point of the matter is, you know, the plan was to make that same kind of investment and create that same kind of pipeline, which to me meant a lot because in this community, you know, you didn't grow up knowing about labor jobs necessarily unless one of your parents was in labor. And when I say in labor, I'm speaking about, you know, carpentry, pipe fitting, plumbers, sheetrock, painters, demolition, you know, hoisting, operators, the whole nine, truckers, teamsters. You didn't necessarily even hear about these jobs, never mind have a pipeline or access to one. So to be able to put one in a school that used to be the default school for kids in my neighborhood and now make it a first class state school with a pipeline directly into unions was a dope idea. Unfortunately, I was railroaded in 2014 and was not able to put the political leverage that I would like to have applied on then mayor Marty Walsh to keep that commitment. So when you pick up the paper and you're reading the Boston Globe, no shout out to them because I'm not a big fan, but at least they're covering the story and highlighting the fact that Madison Park is now looking for their 8th headmaster in 8 years. So if you're looking for your it's the 7th year of your administration and you've looked for a new headmaster every year, somewhere there's a breakdown. And obviously there's a lot of levels between the person that hires the headmaster and Mayor Marty Walsh. Not too many that you can't get through them, especially if you're coming from the top down and make sure that your commitment is being seen through effectively. But after 7 years, if this is a problem every year, then to me that says the investment was never made. And that behavior over 7 years shows that, you know, there's a lack of commitment, and that was kind of just smoke, or there's a lack of effectiveness and you weren't able to make it happen, whether it was you couldn't get willing participants, couldn't get leverage to get the financial investments and didn't have the political will to do it or raise money, you know, privately through foundations. Whatever the reason is, all I can judge now is 7 years that it didn't happen. And that's disappointing because that's that many more students from my community who passed through that school and instead of getting a first-class education, have had to settle for less. And that many more that weren't able to make it through a building pathway all the way into a pipeline with the sense of urgency to address unemployment levels and to address violence in our neighborhoods, because people that make between $33 an hour and $50 an hour between the hours of 6:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. aren't out at night shooting people. They're not committing crimes. What they're doing is they're buying homes and they're paying taxes and they're sending their children to school and they're shopping locally and they're building a local economy. And so while I would love to lay that all on the feet of Mayor Martin Walsh, I definitely think he holds some responsibility. But I'm also wondering where the political flex was. Where's the muscle from Roxbury, Dorchester, and Mattapan? Where are the city and state officials who represent these families that were there with me when we heard this same plan? And where was the clamor for this, to get this right, to keep this commitment? And, you know, some of the names and faces have changed, as they always do, but not Madison. Madison hasn't changed. So while everybody's coming in and saying that they're focused on education, 7 years have gone by and Madison's still the same. The same story, if you Google it, ran in 2012, ran in 2013. I mean, it's politicians taking pictures and having press conferences out front. And now here we are in 2020 and still an issue. So, I mean, just take that and make of it what you will, but that's, you know, that's just a perspective out of many on it. I saw Commissioner Gross in the news. It's not salaciously crazy. Like, I'm not mad at what I read, but it comes off as a little insensitive and abrasive. But I think that's what he's going for, you know what I'm saying? But that in the cowboy hat, I think it's kind of a new sheriff in town kind of thing. But, you know, one thing I try to bring to public services, I think words mean things. I mean, I bring that with me everywhere, but I think it's really important when you're talking to a lot of people that you're very careful with your words, because they influence people to think things and to do things based on what they believe. And when you're also in a position of authority and people look up to you, your behavior can then be replicated. So if you're kind of callous with your words and you deem people worthy of being sick, and especially if that sickness can lead to death, you know, I get it. It's like, it's easy to discard people that you deem violent. We also know that the justice system is anything but just, and that some people who are nonviolent or who might have been in possession of a weapon but not necessarily using it could be classified in that group. So it's not always perfect. It's not always black and white. So when you make a broad sweeping statement like that, it comes off as pretty callous. And, you know, when you have men under your rule who police a community made of the same people that you sort of just discarded, it could lead to some abrasiveness. It could lead to some disrespect. It could lead to a lack of humanity. And we see that every day. We just witnessed what has been happening for far too long, right? And it continues to happen. So I think I'd like personally people to be mindful of it. Again, you do with it what you want, but, you know, I haven't seen the commissioner say it to him personally, but if I do, I would. It's a conversation I think needs to be had. It could be had publicly or it could be had behind closed doors. There's no pointing fingers of shame on you. It's just like, hey, brother, I think, you know, this could cause that. So, you know, you might want to be mindful. Take it or leave it. It don't matter. It's just advice. Same thing for, you know, District Attorney Rachel Rollins. Like, I get it. I get the statement she was trying to make, I guess, but you got to be careful with your words. Like, here's what happened. I'll give you the quick breakdown. Is she was on a radio show, and a caller called in and was complaining to her, saying that they had had a problem. They're a defendant, right? They're calling the district attorney and saying to the district attorney, I can't get in touch with my defense attorney, my public defender. I don't know what to do. What should I do? And I'm paraphrasing, but this is how the breakdown goes, is that she advised him to call her office, the district attorney's office, and that they would help. Now, I get it. If you need to get information about when your case is going to be heard, I guess you would call the DA's office. But anything past that, you really don't want to be talking to the people that are prosecuting you, trying to take away your freedom, instead of your public defender or your defense attorney. So her statement was something to the effect that the public defenders are lazy, that they just send it for the check, they just show up, they don't care about the quality of their work, and that mainly they're too white, they're made up of white people that don't really care about the stories of poor black people or poor brown people in the community, and that that's why people aren't getting their calls returned. Now, that's a pretty broad brush to paint with. Now, I'm not saying some of the walls didn't need paint on them, but when you paint with a real big brush, you tend to get paint on shit you didn't mean to get paint on. So now it's a little messy, and we'll see if she doubles down on it. I don't know who advises neither she nor Commissioner Gross on their press statements. But like I said, I think words mean something. So we should all be careful with our words, because they impact policy. They impact people. They impact what people believe. So that's just a quick news clip. Some of those stories are in the Globe. Some of those stories are in Universal Hub. If I had to choose one, I'd definitely go with Universal Hub. I won't get into my feelings about the Boston Globe. I'll save that for another time. What else could I bring y'all? I don't know. Well, let me get back to one thing before I slide real quick. There's a lot of issues. There's always issues. And I don't want to be another voice that's just speaking to the same issues. That was never my intention. And actually, while I got you, let me tell you my intention. Why I got into politics. One, because of my father. My father was into civic engagement. He was a man about the community. He made sure he looked out for his community, for his neighbors. What he wanted for himself, he wanted for his family. He wanted for his neighbor. He wanted for his community. He wanted for his city. And when I figured that all out, I thought it was dope, and I wanted to be similar to him. So as I worked on that, I also like the game of chess, and politics is very much like the game of chess. It's also like akin to being in the streets too, except that they don't try to kill you with bullets. They try to kill you with words, like I said, and you got to be careful with your words, because they'll spin them against you if they can, and people can take them the wrong way if you're not clear about it. But I got in it for the power to be able to do the same thing, like get a park cleaned, get a policy changed, get a rule changed, a rule that was hurting us changed. Create jobs for my friends and my neighbors and people that needed them so they could take care of their families. Make sure their streets were clean so they didn't have to walk past needles and trash on the way to the bus stop or the corner store. Making sure there were no prostitutes or drug addicts outside so that children didn't have to be exposed to that at an early age. These are the reasons why I got into politics. I didn't get into it to be popular. Popularity was probably the farthest thing from my mind, and it's probably the least favorite byproduct of it, is losing your private life. But again, that's a whole nother episode. But I feel like people are missing the idea of power. We're up against a power that has been working against us for hundreds of years. It's embedded in policy that has designed ghettos and make sure that bankers don't give you loans to live in certain neighborhoods where they don't want you to live. And those very neighborhoods are overpopulated and make you more susceptible to disease, crime, drug infestation, poor mental health, and all the social ills that you can imagine. It actually shortens your lifespan to live in these places, and it's proven by science. These are the reasons why I got into the game, because politics, it all goes through politics. Whether you think voting matters or not, whether you don't know how to play the game is a whole different issue. Whether the game is being played while you stand around not being able to see it being played. So the idea is to use leverage and power. And at the best, I think one of the best things I did when I was elected official was to convene a group called the Boston Electeds of Color. And it was basically a remix of the Black Political Task Force, something that had been around in the late 70s and 80s for, you know, for Blacks in Boston to really gain a political foothold. And when I say that, you know, people get riled up about, oh, that, you know, you're on that pro-Black shit. Well, let me just explain to you why. There's 160 state representatives. Four of them identify as Black. Four out of 160. There are also 40 senators. And none of them are Black. There's one Latina. So out of 200 people, you have four Blacks and maybe 14, 15, 17 people of color, including Asian and Latin descent. That impacts policies. That shapes people's perspective. It shapes people's belief systems. And it has a direct impact on budgeting, has a direct impact on law. And it's felt by people in my neighborhood. These are the reason I got in the game and the things I learned. So when I convened this group, it's so that we could have a group, at least in Boston. There were 12 of us that represented about 100,000 people. This is my mindset. And so at least if we speak to 100,000 people, honestly, we can tell them whether a mayor, whoever the mayor is, because at that time it wasn't even Mayor Walsh. I think it was Mayor Menino at the time. And it wasn't personal. It was just the business of politics and leverage and power, that together we could make a demand. You know what I mean? Like, I always grew up hearing people make demands, but you can't make a demand unless you're in a position of power, unless you have some leverage, something to hold over them, either a carrot or a stick. And that would have been our collective stamp of approval. If you did not do what we asked you to do, we would come together and say, we don't approve of the way you're representing our community in this fashion. And we need to have a conversation about it. That's politics. We put you on Front Street and let you stand in front of the people. Or if you want our support, you have to give to this budget or give to this policy that we think would be beneficial or advantageous. You know what I'm saying? It would be to the good of the many. That's the blueprint. Like, and you just apply it over and over. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. That's why I said it was just a remix. It's no different than what the politicians do in West Roxbury. It's no different to what the politicians do in South Boston. It's no different. They're just playing the game better. And now, like, 7 years out of the game, to see we're still not playing at that level, like, okay, we're meeting, we're having the same meetings. We're talking about the same issues. And I haven't even seen a splash. I'm not saying we could win every battle, but I haven't even seen any battles. And yes, everything doesn't have to be a battle in the street, but some of it does need to be a battle in the street. So I don't know how the rest of y'all feel about it, but I just wanted to give you that little bit of framework. Like, I'm not bitter. I'm sad. I'm sad that we ain't pressing like we should. It doesn't have to be me. It has to be we, like, and it doesn't have to be everybody united. Like, everybody could just, you know, it's really simple. I look forward to talking about it more, but I just want to give you that breakdown of what's in the news, what to look for locally. There are a lot of good efforts going around the city, a lot of food, a lot of mask giveaways. TuneIn is still repping, and if you want to send an email in to Los, is still repping. I'm trying to connect you to some of those sources. You know, please, you know, be safe, basically. This is not over. We're not out the woods yet. And but also continue to live. Like, there's a lot of good things going on. You know, I just got my man E-Tel's album from Brolic Numbers, Ideal Scriptures. Man, this dude is amazing on the microphone. Like, rewind it over and over to get the words and then peep the metaphor and then peep the double entendre. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's oh my God, it's amazing. It's amazing. So, you know, support local. This is the time to support your local economy. I just copped a couple of t-shirts from my man Teron Tibbs. He runs TNT Clothing and Printing. Shout out to him. Still working with Hot Sauce. She got Spark FM Online. Oh, yo, Spark FM Online is crazy. Spark, I don't have to sell it. But Spark FM Online, there's a lineup of local DJs. They're nice. There's no record. It's not like listening to the radio where they're playing the same thing every hour over and over, the same songs, man. You hear songs from all over the world, whether you're into reggae or soca, whether you're into the zouk, whether you're into hip-hop, R&B, slow jams, old-school classics. Everything is in the lineup. Everything's local. Everything's live already. You can't mail it in. You can't phone it in. You got to do live. One of the reasons why I'm podcasting this and not on the station yet is because that part ain't ready to go live. And I can't mail it in. So, you know, but shout out to Hot Sauce. She's definitely doing her thing. Who else? My man Raheem Rothenick is doing a lot of stuff around the arts. Paintings, if you're into paintings, if you're into black art, he's the man to see. Raheem Jamal or Rothenick. Google's your friend, bro. I don't have the whole URL, but Google's your friend. I'm giving you enough that you can look up these people and support their art. Shout out to D Nation and my man Russ. I got to spend a little time listening to What's Soon Coming, and I was really impressed. You know, I listened to D Nation about a year ago when I was up at Urban Heat. Shout out to Marv, and I like what I heard. It had some potential. It wasn't really my cup of tea, you know what I mean? But I like it. I'm a student of music, so I can still hear that it was good music. But the growth, what I hear now is like, man, it's like deep into his mind. And I think that's dope because a lot of people can rap about the superficial, but to rap about what's going on in your mind and heart is what makes each one of us unique. And as I say that, it reminds me that that this is May. They call it Mental Health Month, so I definitely want to speak to that. So shout out D Nation for bringing that to the game. In a dope lyrical way and in a melodic way with music. Big things to come, I hope. But yeah, mental health, man. I know everybody's stressed. Keep an eye on your mental health. Do what you need to do. Watch what you're using to cope. I'm not judging anybody, but you know, try to turn to healthy things to cope. Try to turn to exercise. Try to use the time to do something. You know, we're creatures of habit, so when you break the habit, it causes a stress. But try to use it as a stress point or to grow. You know what I mean? Maybe you want to work on yoga and stretching. Maybe you want to work on exercise. Maybe you want to work on cooking. For me, you know, this recording these podcasts is long overdue. I should have been doing this and doing it a lot more. I just wanted to be thoughtful about it, but then I turned into an overthinker. So be mindful of your mental health. If you're looking for a health therapist, there's lists for that. Oh, yo, check out Jamal Crawford. He's putting together like curriculums and all kinds of things that are COVID, not only COVID related in terms of you could be doing them while you're in quarantine, but a lot of online access things that you want to check out at blackstonian.com or through Jamal Crawford. Appreciate you, bro, for taking the time, your own time and effort to collect the list, catalog it, and then share it with the people. That's service. Like, dude don't have to do that. He ain't getting paid to do that. But look for it and use it. You know what I'm saying? Use it as a resource if you can. There's connections to all that stuff I talked about, food giveaways, masks, the whole nine. Mike Massey, Tiffany Hogan, Linda Wells doing yoga. Three people I know, depending on your style of yoga, you should check it out. For the fellas, those of y'all that think you're too tough for yoga, you don't even found your strength weakness until you did some yoga. Try a set and then, or hit up Mike Massey and try a set and see if you can make it. It really tests your strength in a different way. Without going on and on, I want to say thank you. That's it. Keep it short and sweet. Tune in again. We'll bring you a little bit more next time. Peace. It's Los.